My name is Mitch Williamson from West Texas A&M and Amarillo College. The name of this workshop is Purity Principles, or what's the other name? Practicing Purity and Living a Clean Life. If you would please turn off your cell phones, that'd be awesome. Okay. Good deal. Well, I'm glad you all are here. Let's just talk real quick. Why is everybody here today? What brought you to this workshop? Okay, get a kick in the face. We could arrange that later. What else? Okay. So troubleshooting. Okay. Good. How about this workshop in particular? Why did you come to this one over another one? Same answer. Okay. Looking for answers for something? I want this to be a very practical time. I've gone to some purity workshops before. A guy lectured for about an hour and a half. And he ended. There was no questions. And we ended like 2 minutes after we were supposed to end. So I had a bunch of questions I was hoping to get answered. So I want to leave some time for that at the end. But up front, I want to know if you have a question, and I'll make sure that we hit that in our time. So is any other questions? It's okay. We're all guys. I think there's no girls here. Okay. It's all guys. We're all wired up pretty much the same way. So anything else curious about, wondering about, want to get some help on? Okay, well, repeat after me. Sex.
Sex.
Oh, no, let's try again. Ready? Sex.
Sex.
Pornography.
Pornography.
Masturbation.
Masturbation.
Now, we've all said it, so we can just kind of relax a little bit, take a deep breath. Okay? That's what we're going to be talking about in here, some of these concepts. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Lord, thank you so much for an opportunity to help lead this workshop. God, I pray that you would speak to hearts today. God, I pray for each one of these guys to walk out of here with confidence, with hope, and with a vision for purity in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, I hope we can accomplish four goals in here. I want to address the issue of purity from a biblical standpoint. Want to address lies that we've been told and may not even know. Reveal that this struggle is much deeper than a sexual dysfunction. And give you some practical helps for getting in the battle as well as continuing to fight. Does that sound good? Okay. I'm a very interactive person, so let's have lots of interaction. Stop me if you have a question. At any point, if you want to add something, raise your hand. Say, hey, can I say something? Okay. Thank you, Tom. If you want to count how many women are out there and set aside some of those CDs for her, and then bring the rest in here.
How about if I just count these?
That works too. I'll hand those out at the end. Thanks. Okay, well, let's look at this first page, addressing the issue of purity from a biblical standpoint. Okay, so what is purity? I'll just give it to you. Cleanness. Freedom from stain or blemish. Not contaminated. Can be anything, but usually relates to moral issues. Okay, what is it not? Can someone read that?
Abstaining from one sin.
If I don't look at pornography, I'm pure. Sometimes we think that, don't we? Well, how's purity these days for you? Man, really good. I haven't looked at pornography for like 3 days. Purity is so much bigger than that. It's more whole life. And holiness is even more global than that. just some statistics for you, or just some trivia information. Purity, pure, and blameless mentioned 149 times in the Bible. How many times does it have to be mentioned for it to be important?
Once?
I don't know. It's kind of rhetorical, actually. But 149 is kind of a few. And I think you got on there 730. That number jumps up to 730 if we include the word holy. So that's kind of a big deal. Okay, purity isn't just related to sexuality. Someone read that next line. Okay, so whether you're playing Halo, or in class studying, cheating on a test, those all, everything you do, purity has a part in everything you do. But we're going to talk about more of the sexual side today. So what is lust? Would someone please, I've got a blank, don't I? Okay, lust, an intense longing for that which is not mine. A strong desire that cannot be righteously satisfied. Righteously satisfied. That's the key. Maybe it can be satisfied, but not from the biblical standpoint, not in the right way. So what is pornography? Pictures, writing, or films designed to arouse sexual excitement. That's their purpose. So, by this definition, what kinds of things could pornography potentially be? Commercials, good. TV shows. Video games, yeah. What'd someone say?
Magazines,
yeah. Obviously, there's the explicit, you know, naked people having sex. That's obvious, but it can be anything. I was watching... Someone had the Disney Channel on the other day. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, they were flirting and dressed in such a way. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Designed to arouse sexual excitement. Okay, what constitute addiction? Webster, Noah Webster. To apply oneself habitually to something or someone and to devote time and attention by constant practice. It's an addiction. And usually it's marked by not having freedom. Could someone please read for us 1 Corinthians 6:12? Actually, we're going to read a couple verses. Could I have a volunteer for 1 Corinthians 6:12? Thank you. 1 Thessalonians 4.
I've got 1 Corinthians.
Okay. You said 1 Thessalonians. He's got 1 Corinthians here. Let's see here. Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. Get a volunteer. Thank you. 2 Timothy 2:15. And Psalms 32, 33 through 4. You got that?
Okay.
3 through 4. Okay. Let's have 1 Corinthians, please. He will not be what?
Mastered.
He will not be mastered by anything. Who's in control? I'm not going to be mastered by it. If you can't, if you're not the one who's in control, it's an addiction. It's a problem. Okay, got some good references for staying away from immorality. For time's sake, we're just going to look at 1 Thessalonians, but you can see there's Proverbs 5 through 7. Actually, I debated about us doing just like a Bible study together over those chapters, coming to some conclusions, but we'll just move on from there. So 1 Thessalonians 4, read about the first 3 or 4 verses. Thank you. Key thoughts? Some key thoughts there. How about what's God's will? Part of His will. What's part of His will, according to that passage? abstain from sexual lusts, yeah, fleshly indulgences. That we be sanctified. God's will is that we be transformed into the image of Christ. It's a big deal. Great. Okay. How about, got here, sexual purity at its best. I've got a couple verses for you, but let's just look at Proverbs 5. Who had that one? Did no one have that one? Okay. Yes.
May your family be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, the loving doe, graceful deer, and may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love.
All right. So is sex wrong? No way. God created it. It's awesome. It's amazing. And it's even, it says, enjoy, how does it say, be satisfied? Say that again. You just read the 9 again.
May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, the loving doe, the graceful deer, may your breast satisfy you always, may you ever be captivated by her love.
Anybody blushing? May her breast satisfy you? Are we allowed to even think that?
Not right now.
If you're single.
But
that will be a reality. If you get married someday, that will be a reality. And that will be a charge for you, is to be satisfied in your wife and not anything else, not anyone else. So it's good. I want to tell you that sex and purity is marvelous. But even inside marriage, a lot of guys think, oh, I'll take care of that when I get married. And it doesn't happen. And then when they get married, it's really out of control. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Okay, how about positives of purity? 2 Timothy 2:15. Does anyone have that memorized?
Almost, but not completely.
Okay, you can read it. You can read it for us.
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth.
Yeah. What are some key elements there? Okay. Present yourself to God, approved. A workman. There's no shame. And there's no shame. Now, I lived in shame for a long time because of struggling with pornography. And I felt checked out. I felt God can't use me. I'm worthless. Even if I would try to share the gospel with someone, what does it matter? It's not working for me, obviously, so I can't export it. That's shame. We'll talk about that a little later. So, when we walk with God in purity, there's no shame. Okay, how about some negatives of impurity? Who has Psalms 32?
That's me.
Okay.
When I kept silent, my bones rolled from my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. Mm-hmm. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer.
Thank you. So what happened when he kept silent about his sin? Yeah, he wasted away. It crushed him. It ate at you. Did you ever hold on to something that no one else knows about? It eats you up, doesn't it? You messed up that one time, boy. Ugh. You run away. I mean, I checked myself out of a couple Bible studies because of that when I was in college. There's no way I'm showing up. I messed up. I'm not going. That's the wrong response, by the way. But that's what it does. It eats us up. Cool. Okay, any thoughts on that section? We're going to move on. Any questions or comments, statements? Anyone testify to that? Okay, well, let's address some lies. Okay, here's a couple lies, and we're just going to talk briefly about them. And maybe there's others that you guys know, and I would love to hear them. So here's a lie. Being tempted sexually will go away when you get married. False. Totally false. I was talking about that just a minute ago. It's false because if you don't control your vessel now, if you don't learn how to submit to God now, forget it. It's not going to happen when you get married. There's no like magic, like you go through a curtain or something and then it's on the other side. Ah, sexual purity. I'm no longer tempted. My wife is always a radiant beauty, and I'm always desiring her, you know? No. You have to train your body now. You have to train your eyes now. You have to learn how to seek God now, so that when you are married, you'll be a one-woman man. Another lie. No one else struggles with the things I do like I do. I am uniquely sinful. Anybody ever felt that way? A couple people? I bet we all feel that way. And that's Satan's plan for us. He wants us to think we're on an island, that we're the only ones struggling with this, to the extent that we're struggling with this, and there's something wrong with us. Okay, another lie. There is a magic pill, prayer or scripture, that if I could just find it, would cure me, and I'd never have to struggle again. Anyone ever felt like that? If you find that pill, let me know, or that scripture, let me know. It's not there. It is not there. Because purity is a lifestyle. And we're going to talk a little bit about roots of where that stuff comes from. But it's about cultivating a relationship with God ultimately. And that's where we find our strength. Because if it was about doing something, whose strength would it be on? Be on me. Be on you. And that would give you a chance to glory in your flesh, which God is saying, no, that's not possible. Okay, another lie. There is something wrong with how God made me. Anybody ever felt like that? Especially after you've messed up, you've promised, oh God, I promise next time, I promise, I will never do this again. It's a bad idea, by the way. You probably shouldn't promise God stuff like that. And then it happens, and then you really feel bad. You're down, and you know what Satan likes to do when you're down? Offers to help you up, right? No, he kicks you in the teeth, then he keeps you down. That's not true. Go ahead. You bet. Yeah, no one is, you're right. No one is satisfied. I'm supposed to repeat for them, for the microphone, because they can't hear you. You're right. No one is satisfied with how they look, how they feel, their performance, their identity. No one's satisfied. You're right. They did a survey of some top supermodels, weightlifters, and I think movie actors. And every one of them said they wish they were more beautiful. They wish they were like somebody else. And you're like, are you kidding me? Like, you've got chiseled abs, you've got pectorals that are the size of my head. Like, what do you mean you want to be like so-and-so or somebody else? Or, so no one's satisfied. That's a great point, Colin. Okay, another lie. I don't have a problem with pornography or masturbation. It's something I can stop doing anytime I want. I just haven't yet. Hopefully, you guys know why that's a lie. Because you're not in control when that's the case. When you start saying stuff like that, you're not in control. My dad's a... hope he doesn't listen to this before he becomes a believer. My dad can't stop drinking. I can stop anytime I want. Really, Dad? You're 60 years old. You have about 5 beers a day. You can stop anytime? Yeah, anytime. Okay. How about today? Well, I don't really want to, actually. Okay. Okay, next lie. If I tell someone about how I struggle sexually, they'll think I'm a sick, twisted person. Or worse, they'll reject me. Anyone ever felt like that? It's usually a shame that keeps us out of fellowship with other people and telling them what's going on in our lives. We think, oh, they're going to reject me. They're going to think I'm horrible. No one else struggles like I do. Yeah, right. Okay. Next lie. Maybe I don't really love God. If I did love God, why would I keep repeating the same sin pattern cycle? Anybody? Anybody struggle with that one? These are, by the way, these are all lies that I believed at one point. So, those are lies. If you hear yourself saying that, it's a lie. Correct yourself. That's wrong. If you hear a brother say that, those are lies. Any other lies you guys have heard? had someone say, you said to yourself, come to mind? Oh, wow. Yeah. You're always going to be second rate. Yeah. Why is that not true? Not just you. Anybody can answer that.
God doesn't make second rate.
You bet. God does not make second rate. That's great. James, that's good. Sorry? Nor does he rank us. You bet. Total lie. Yep. Good. Others? There's no escape. It's impossible. What, to resist sin? Yeah. That's a lie. There's always a way out. Who knows a scripture that talks about that? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Yes. Is that a promise? That he will provide a way out? That's a promise. Now we have a choice. Sometimes we don't choose the way out, but we have a choice. Yeah. He's going to do that. Okay, well, let's look at some... It says, okay, my third goal, reveal that this struggle is much deeper than a sexual dysfunction. This was totally foreign to me about 4 years ago. So this is kind of new stuff. Bruce Doss is here. Bruce is my mentor, and he helped me through a lot of this stuff. So, Bruce, you have authority here. Speak up anytime if you want to say something. Bruce turned me on to this right here. 10 reasons why some people don't get free from sexual addictions. I'll read the first one, and then I'll send it around to the rest of you guys. But this is key. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, forget it. There is no way you're going to get free from this. If you do, it's probably going to be manifested in some other area of your life. You'll struggle with workaholism. You'll struggle with, drawing a blank, alcoholism. I don't know. You'll be struggling with something, but it'll have the same root. If you don't have Christ Jesus in your life, number one key, you must have him in your life. All right? So if there's any question about that, you can't do it apart from him. Let's just go around and, guys, why don't you read the rest of these? So what's the next one?
Unconfessed sin.
Okay.
Failure to cultivate a relationship with God.
Failure to cultivate a relationship with God. Max, what was Max talking about? Cultivating a relationship with God, yeah. Yep. Okay, next one.
Emotional or spiritual wounds.
Yeah. Emotional or spiritual wounds. We're not going to take and stare at our little belly buttons and say, woe is me, look at me, how awful am I? But there are times when we are wounded, traumatized, you may not even remember it, or you may have tried to push it out of your mind. That was my story. That's a big deal. I thought it was totally unrelated, this thing that happened to me when I was a little kid and me struggling with pornography now. Totally unrelated. Well, that was back then, and I'm here now. So what does that matter? Or my relationship with my dad. We have a really rocky relationship. Oh, totally unrelated. It's not. So, dealing with that stuff. Okay? Number five?
Failure to die to sin.
Okay. Failure to die to sin. Crucify the flesh. That happens. Sometimes we have pride in our life and we say, I know better. I'm going to do what I want. Well, I kind of like this. Failure to say, no, I am going to deny myself. Yes, good question. Anyone know Galatians 2:20?
Oh, okay, that one.
Very good. Luke 9.
This is, I've been
crucified,
not crucified.
Myself.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know a verse?
No.
Okay. Yeah, Ian? Okay, yes.
I don't know that.
A room full of navigators. Without a reference, that's okay. Yeah, okay. I was thinking of Luke 9:23. Does anyone know that one? 9:23? Do you have that, Tom? What's 9:27? Take up your cross. Then he said to them all, take up your cross. Deny himself. Come after me. And follow me. Okay, it must be 27. It's in the 20s. It is 23. Okay. So we're all going to be attending the workshop on scripture memory this afternoon. By the way, this is our arsenal to fight with, is scripture, just like Max was talking about. Okay? Great, Todd. Thanks for asking that. Okay, I'm just going to read the rest of these off. Lack of faith, not believing. I just really don't trust God. That's what that means. Demonic oppression. When we engage in pornography, we're opening up channels that are unnatural. And we're letting stuff into our life that doesn't belong there. And I want to even say, too, there's certain films, there's certain video games, there's certain kinds of music. You're just opening yourself up to stuff that's not supposed to be there. Now, I'm not going to say it's 100% of the time you're inviting the demonic stuff in, but it's there. And it wants to eat your lunch. Satan wants to ruin your life. By the way, I heard Stephen was going to share his testimony there. He told me he was at a conference, and a guy said, do you know Satan has a plan for your life? Just like God does. But Satan's plan is totally destroy you at every chance he can. So he's going to look for every opportunity to do that. We've got to watch out. Okay, curses. Someone's cursed you. Whether were their words, my dad called me gay for a very long time, and he said I was worthless. He was joking, but he thought he was helping me out. That's a curse, by the way. 9, relying on self-effort rather than spiritual weapons. I can do better. Pull up my bootstraps, John Wayne. Get back up on that horse. We need to do that, but if it's self-effort, it's going to fail. And failure to internalize God's word. That reference right there is about the birds that came and snatched the seed off the ground after the sower came and sowed it. Okay. Well, let's look at here. Typically, struggling with pornography and masturbation are effects of a non-sexual cause. Effects of a non-sexual cause. Like an aspen tree. Anybody know what an aspen tree is? Anybody? Okay. And they're really cool trees. And I hope I have my arborological facts right. Is that arborological? Is that tree science? Okay. I'm speaking, so I guess whatever I say, you will believe? No. By the way, check me on all my stuff. If you're like, I don't know about that, go home, check it out. Talk to somebody about it. So I'm fallible. An aspen tree, really thin, actually probably about as thin as my arm. They can get about, I don't know, about this big. Maybe bigger, Bruce. What do you think? A little bit bigger. But they have their roots. They're always clustered together, and their roots are all underground. And it's one root system for all the trees. You know what's interesting about that? If you try to kill an aspen tree and you cut it down, you're going to kill it. You have to kill them all, and you have to do something to the roots. That's what we're dealing with. Is that true, by the way, about aspen trees?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Sweet. Glad I got that right. So, is that right? So, what happens if you chop off the trunk at the trunk level? It's going to keep growing. It's still there. It's going to come up in a different spot. In the same way, struggling with masturbation and pornography, if you just try to stop doing it, there's usually something else going on underneath. Some possible roots I've listed here. Stress, unforgiveness, shame, bitterness, regret. By the way, bitterness. I heard someone say it's like drinking poison and hoping someone else dies. So, good luck, right? Regret, feeling unworthy. That was mine. Tired or overworked. Entitlement or pride. I deserve this. Lack of discipline. Impulsive. I do what I feel. I just go on emotion. And fear, among many others. Well, take a couple minutes and circle the ones that apply to you. If you feel like maybe there's something that just stood out to you, like, holy moly, that's me. In talking about these roots, what it is we find stuff to medicate ourselves. The medicine that we use happens to be masturbation, pornography, something else, sex. But we can use a variety of things. I used to put people down in order to make myself feel good about myself. What's the root? Do I need to stop doing that? Do I need to stop putting people down? You bet. Well, what was the root? The root was I didn't feel good about myself, and I felt that I had to belittle somebody else in order to feel good about me. So the root is unworthiness. So you deal with the root. Guess what? I can encourage people now. I talk to them. I tell them how cool they are, how much I appreciate them. But I can do that because the root was dealt with. So it can be anything. We're just talking about, what are we talking about? Masturbation? Pornography and sex, thank you. But it can be anything. So the question is, what's the root? What's really at the core? Do I need to argue with anybody about why pornography is wrong? Does anybody not know that? So logically, we all understand that, right? But somewhere there's a disconnect between I know it's wrong and not doing it, right? So the missing link is that root. Does that make sense? Let me see here. I'm trying to remember what I put in my notes. Oh, good. Okay. Wonderful. I've got that. Next page.
Oh, okay.
Yes?
Like, say you quit, say, masturbation like cold turkey, but you don't address the problem that caused it in the first place, it could affect another part of your life?
Absolutely. Now, I'm not saying that trying to quit masturbating is bad. I think it's great, and I think it should be. You should try to do that. But if you're not going to look at root issues in your life, if you're just trying to deal with not doing one thing, that's not purity, and it's not really going to deal with the issue. That's a great question. Any other thoughts or questions? That's a great question. Well, let's look at some practical helps, and then we got a testimony, and then we'll have some discussion, okay? So I used to ask myself this a lot. What is my part in staying pure? If I'm not supposed to be a legalist, what is my part? You know, what am I responsible for? So your first responsibility is to know God. Anybody know the Navigator's mission statement? Okay, yeah, know God, know Christ, make Him known. That's it. You have to know Christ. Who knows Jeremiah 29:13 or Psalm 61:3-5? Does anybody know those?
29:13 is
That's 11, actually.
Oh, 13 is you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart.
That's it. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. That's it. We have to cultivate and build a relationship with God. Ultimately, it's just like Max said, that's where we're going to find our strength. That's where we're going to find our value and identity. That's where we're going to have lies shine light on. That's where we're going to get our strength. And ultimately, it's the power of God that transforms us. Okay, so another responsibility we have is to say no to lust-based impulses. Actually, it'd probably be good to read all these verses, wouldn't it? Kind of a volunteer for Romans 13:14. James 5:16, Job 31:1, Psalms 139:23-24. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Just a minute though. Titus 2:11-12. Titus. John 14:26. Thank you. Proverbs 3:6. Maybe someone has that memorized. You have it memorized? Okay, you can look at it. Psalms 119:1-2. Does anybody have that one memorized? I try to pick some memory verses that are in the TMS or that you might have heard. Because this is our ammo. Yeah. You got six, yeah. You got 3:6? Okay, he'll take 3:6. You take Psalm 119:1-2. And lastly, Jeremiah 2:13-19. Okay. Let's try this out. Tom, go ahead.
And I'm just going to read verse 3, but it says, "You have been a refuge and a tower of strength."
Amen. Tower and a refuge. And that's what he is. He will protect us. And it's ultimately when we connect with God on a heart level that we find those ways out, like we're talking. Great. So, okay, say no to lust-based impulses, Romans. Who's got that Romans? Okay. Do not think about how to gratify the sinful nature. Don't make plans to gratify the nature. Saying no to lust-based impulses? What is that? That's a good question. Would anyone like to chime in a thought? I'm trying to make it more of a discussion instead of just answering. Okay. Is it in response to his? Go ahead.
Can you lust over a girl in a non-sexual way?
What is lust? By our definition. Sure. Yeah. What is lust? Or can you lust after someone without it being wrong? Is that correct? In a non-sexual way. You can lust after your neighbor's car. You can lust after his awesome TV that he has and you don't have. It's not right, because it's an intense longing for something that's not yours. You can't be righteously satisfied. Maybe if he just gave it to me, that's what he should do. Well, pray, I guess, but probably not going to happen. Yeah. So, sorry, to answer your question, so what's a lust-based impulse? Is that what your question was? Or what does that look like to say no to? Yes. Okay, saying no to lust-based impulses. Can I be vulnerable with you guys? Can I do that? I want permission just so no one gets freaked out. No? Okay, just plug your ears. Plug your ears. I was at Chipotle for dinner, and this girl is on a date, I suspect, with this guy. And I think she had 30% of her boobs covered. The remaining 70% were exposed to the whole world, like we were on a platter or something. And I had a choice. I can't control that I saw her, but I can control what I did after that. I saw her and I thought, okay, I have a choice. I can look back, see, I can make an excuse for looking back. I can do anything. But God, would you give me strength to not look back and to avoid her? And that's exactly what I did. I was going to throw out my trash right by her, and I turned around and threw it out over here. I was like, I'm going to say no to that. Am I always that successful? No, I'm not. Are we always? No. But that's, I think, one way. Something happens, I have a choice. Usually a split second. You're flipping through. Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders are on. I need to change it right now. I need to do that. So what's your choice? What are you going to do? Does that make sense? Does that help a little bit? Okay. All right. Go ahead. You know, it is. We'll just go on the record. Ridiculously delicious burritos. Den of thieves. Shouldn't go there. Perhaps there's something sinful about that place. No. That's how cults get started, was when you say stuff like that. Okay, how about James 5:16? Who has that one?
Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
Men, we have to be among men, and we have to be talking. Be among men who you can be open and vulnerable with. Painfully vulnerable. It will set you free. There's all kinds of freedom. When you just say, pray for me, guys, I'm struggling with temptation, that's not good enough. We're all struggling with temptation. You can tell that to a girl, and she'll tell that to you. But guys, we need to say, Stephen, I was at Chipotle, saw this girl, really wanted to look back at her, and I did. Pray for me that I wouldn't make that mistake again. That's being vulnerable. Or you can go into more depth. But we have to have people. Next point on there, regularly meet with these guys. I guarantee if you share openly with a guy about what's going on in your life, that you trust. I mean, not just any guy. Someone that you've befriended, you trust. He will reciprocate that trust. And he's probably been dying on the inside for something like that. And just hasn't had the courage to do anything about it. I almost guarantee it. I shared in a Bible study my freshman year, or my sophomore year, and I said, guys, I know no one ever talks about this, but I'm really struggling looking at pornography. And everybody was like, me too, me too, me too, me too. All down the line. I thought these guys were saints. They all did. They didn't know how to bring it up. So there, I bet you, almost $100, I bet you someone is looking for someone else to just confess it, to say something. Okay. Job 31:1. Who has that one?
Oh, I do. I have made a covenant with my eyes. How many could I gaze at a virgin?
I've made a covenant with my eyes. Mine version says, how can I look on a young maiden lustfully? Put measures in place for your own protection. That's the next line, protection. Knowing that they will not keep you from sin, but they will be an aid for you. You know, I made a covenant with my eyes. There's a lot of implications about covenants that we're not going to go into, but it was a serious deal. And you can get, like what I did on my computer, I got an internet blocker, so it would filter out certain programs. But I had varying degrees of success with it. You know why? Because I was always looking for a loophole. What's that site that they're not going to find? What's this or that that I can get around? Oh, hey, look, I can view the news in the celebrity column. What did that do to have that filter on my computer? It didn't do anything for my heart. My heart wanted it. So things like that can help. Accountability groups are awesome. They will help, but they're not going to fix the problem. They're not going to keep you from sinning. Here's a question I have for you. Two questions. Are you ready? Do you really want to be rid of the sin? Do you really want to be rid of the sin? I mean, you really have to stop and consider that. Do I really, really want to be rid of this? And if so, are you ready to forsake your right to sinning in this area? Are you ready? I'm going to forsake the right to do that. That's a big deal. If you can, I think sometimes we have pride in our lives where we say, well, God, I had a rough day and you're holding out on me. Why don't I feel happy in my Christian life? Why don't these girls like me? Why am I not respected on the team? I deserve this. I deserve something. So I'm going to get what I can do. Does that make sense? That's wrong. That's pride at its best. When we're ready to forsake that right and say, God, I don't know how you're going to satisfy me sexually, but I'm going to forsake my right to try and please myself. That's a big one. That took me a long time to do. You could say that. And I think we have to do it sometimes on a weekly basis, sometimes on a daily basis, or an hourly basis. If you can do that, you know what happens? God will transform you. It's God. As we meet with Him, He's the one that really transforms us. You bet. Yeah, that's a great, great point, Tom. Just that I'm going to repeat it for that thing. That the battle is won daily before the day starts, before you leave the house. And that's so true. I don't have this in here. I didn't even think about putting this in here. But there's a... Let's see if I have time for that. Nope, I don't have time for a tangent, so we'll just move on. Anybody have a shotgun? Kill that rabbit? Okay, thank you. Okay, in confession to others... I've found that doing it before you enter a temptation or a tempting situation, that's the best. Do it before. Hey, Stephen, I am going to this club with this guy. I'm witnessing to him, and I'm sure I'm going to be tempted. Please pray for me. I just want to confess my heart right now. I really don't feel like being strong. Pray for me right now. That's confessing beforehand. I have an intent in my heart that I'm looking for. Or, oh, God, we'll just see what happens. Anybody ever done that? Oh, God, I think I'm just going to go on this website and Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition website, and I don't know what I'll find there, but whatever happens, God. And no, there's an intent. We have an intent, and it'll kill us. Okay, do it during temptation. Man, I'm tempted. Hey, pray for me. I was with my wife, and where were we? Thank you. Did I tell you a story?
Yeah.
I did. Okay, good. I'm glad you remembered. We were in Hastings, which is an entertainment store. What's that? A den of thieves. Is that what you said? Of evil. There's a lot of bad stuff there. We're having a child soon. They have half-price drinks. There's a lot of justifications, obviously, you can hear. So we're going there, and we were looking for a book on baby names and some things about kids. Came back and sat down, we're talking over it. We're walking by these magazine racks, I'm walking by these comic book racks, we're walking by the calendars, and I'm like, baby names. You know? Like, my heart intent was not good. So... during temptation, and I put the book down. Oh, no, we were walking out. We spent 30 minutes there and walked out. I said, Jaylene, I have to tell you right now, I am being tempted. Like, I don't know what I'm thinking about doing, but that's what I'm tempted to do. And so we prayed together. So that was good. Loosened the hold right there. I mean, I went home, and we were fixing supper, and I was like, I feel a ton better. Like, usually it's gnawing on me, you know? So it was great. So during and after. Do it after you've fallen. It's not too late. It's never too late. Who figured that out? There's some geniuses in here that figured that before, during, and after. Yeah, you got it. Good. I would have done that too. I would have filled it out ahead of time. Let your brothers restore you. James 5:16. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. Let them restore you. Don't hold out. So what's God's part in staying pure? You bet.
Get it over with.
Get it over with.
I was telling
telling Stephen, I think it's better if we go and do that right after, because I think Satan's part of what he wants whenever we falter is for us to keep like thinking about it and stuff,
uh-huh.
so it keeps doing damage. But if we fix it right afterwards, or we get right with God afterwards, then you know he's got like a little happy victory, not as bad as what it could have been,
yep.
or what it can be.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
Right after that, like right after you fall, just saturate yourself in the Word and see what Satan thinks about that.
Yeah.
If you make me fall, I'll just go and read the Bible for an hour or whatever.
Amen.
And okay, you won that victory, but I just got an hour of Bible reading. So.
Amen. Good. Yeah.
Just one more. I get that's a really good way of looking at it, because I know that at least the thought that comes to my mind is immediately that I just don't feel like worthy, or just feels just kind of just fake. If you just sin and then you go, oh well, God, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go read the Bible now. I don't know. I know that's a lie. That is a good thing to just go read after, even if you just stumbled.
Yep. Good. Any other thoughts? Is great. Yeah.
I was gonna say, you know, share with them when you have victory too. Thinking like it's kind of silly, but from like a customer service standpoint, you get tons of negative comments from people, but like when you hear a positive one, it's awesome.
You bet.
And so if you're like praying for a friend and all you hear is the negative, it's gonna, I don't know, drag you down a little bit, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear that they're having victory too, I think it's gonna be encouragement mm-hmm. to both people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, don't feel ashamed if everybody in the room says, I failed this week, and you your turn to say, God gave me victory. Share it with pride. Not with pride. That'd be bad. Share it with confidence. Or like, how'd she do? Like, share like that. So, good. Any other thoughts? Is great. Good. A lot of wisdom in this room. A lot of experience. Okay. So, what's God's part? Right? If that's your part, what's God's part? Psalms 139? Who's got that? Nice and loud.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Amen. God, search my heart. Is there any blanks there? No. Search my heart. God, what's going on in my heart? What's going on in my soul? Why do I keep turning to this? He'll answer. He is faithful to answer. Okay, Titus? Who's got the Titus?
I do. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in this present age.
Amen. Transform is that word. God's part is transforming you as you know Him and trust Him. Isn't that interesting? It's the grace of God that teaches us to say no. I thought that was, when I first read that, I was blown away. The grace of God teaches me to say no? Well, grace doesn't do anything. What about the power of God or the my strength? Or that's the grace of God. It's one to meditate on. Okay, John 14:26. He'll teach us. He's going to teach us and call to mind through the Spirit. I'll tell you, though, if you don't have it memorized, if you don't have it, even during your quiet time, God can use that. That's what He'll use, to bring it back to mind, to instruct us and encourage us. Hey, wait, just a second. Wait, don't you know a verse about that? It'll come to mind. Proverbs 3:6. You can do 5 and 6. That's okay. They're both together. He will make your path straight. He will guide us. He will guide you in purity. You bet. Trust Him. He'll guide you into doing that. Psalms 119, 1 and 2. He'll be blessed. He blesses our life by doing that. Isn't that encouraging? Go ahead. Oh, bless. Excuse me. Bless you for pure behavior. as a fill in there. And bless us for it. I feel like we're just kind of skimming over some. These are like hour-long topics, each one of these little things. So spend some time meditating on this. Okay. Jeremiah, this is the unhappy one. Jeremiah 2, 13 and 19.
For my people have done two simple things. They have turned away from me the well of living waters, and they have cut out the rock wells for water for themselves. They are broken wells that cannot hold water. 19. Your own sin will punish you. Your turning away from the Lord will punish you. So know and see that it is sinful and bitter for you to leave the Lord your God. You have no fear of me, says the Lord.
Okay. Thank you. So God will allow us to suffer the consequences of impure behavior. That doesn't mean he can't cover that or cover those consequences. He can. But sometimes he doesn't. And sometimes that's the discipline that we need to suffer the consequences. Humiliation of getting caught. I don't know if anybody here has been caught. It's humiliating. The consequence of it sometimes spurns you on to good things. Ted Haggard, you guys remember him? I don't remember how long ago it was now, but was it? Wow. That. He was a pastor in Colorado Springs. Big, big church. President of the Evangelical Church Association, I believe. So basically, he was at the head of a lot of non-denominational churches and of committees and stuff. This guy was on a family council going to Congress and talking about same-sex, or talking about how homosexuality is wrong, trying to pass legislation against gay marriage, pro-family. Turns out that some guy is watching TV, sees him on TV, and says, he's a pastor. This guy goes to the news and the police and confesses and says, this is a gay relationship that I've had with this man, what, 3 or 4 years? And I sell him methamphetamines. How does that happen? Wow, crazy? Well, God used that to restore him. Now, he did not confess his sin to another. When they asked him in an interview after, I think it was a year or two afterwards, they said, how did this happen? You're like the bedrock. You're the salt. How did this happen? He said, I never really got deep with anybody because I felt like I had no one. He said, I felt like if I ever told them, I'd lose my position. Well, he lost it, didn't he? Yeah, he lost it for sure. So we got to have brothers. We got to have people we're talking to. You bet.
But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. I think there's also a strong biblical mandate for filling up your life and your free time with actively following Christ.
Yeah.
And if you fill up your life with a good thing, then you'll be more transformed to his image and not conformed to the world, which is your default setting if you don't make any effort.
You bet. Good. Thanks. That's a good word. Okay, I want to make this very clear. God will forgive you every time you confess and repent of impure thoughts and actions. How much is every time? Is there any space in between where he won't? It's every time. We need to know that. There's a story about a football player that's really good. Jim Downing has... I'll share it briefly. I've already started on it. Football player... I forget what position he's playing. He was on defense, catches an interception, and runs all the way to the end zone. Thought he got a touchdown, but he ran to the other end zone. He got tackled, they got a safety, and he's humiliated. Absolutely humiliated. And he's sitting on the sidelines, and the coach says, hey, I need you back in the game. We're on defense again. He says, I can't do it, coach. I blew it. He says, I forgive you. Get back in the game. We need you. You're one of our key guys. Can't do it, coach. I screwed up. He says, how long is it going to take you? Because your team needs you. We need you back in the game. So stop feeling guilty. You've been forgiven. Get back in the game. That's us. If you've asked God for forgiveness, confess it to your brother, get back in the game. It's done. Get back. But we sit on the sidelines. Oh, I can't. No, I'm ashamed. I'm worthless. We start believing lies. We got to get back in the game. Okay? God needs you in the game. And so do your brothers. Purity can be restored. If you've had sex outside of marriage, if you masturbated, if you've looked at pornography, I want you to know right now, purity can be restored today. Actually, within seconds, it can be restored. 1 John 1:8-9. Does anyone have that memorized? Great. Nice and loud for us. That's it. 8 is just, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we all sin. So that's a given. He's writing to Christians, by the way. Isn't that interesting? So he says, if we confess our sins. Okay, this is instantaneous. That's the next blank. And here's the meanings for confess and repent. Confess means I agree with you, God, that this is wrong. That's what that means. God, you say, this is wrong, and I agree. Actually, you can confess with somebody if they're like, this is a tasty burrito. You say, I confess that this is a tasty burrito. You're agreeing with someone that what they said. It sounds weird, but that's actually what that literally means. Let me encourage you. When you're confessing sin, be specific. God, I'm sorry I screwed up again. No, get specific. God, I'm sorry. Go back. Recount it. It's a little embarrassing, but you know what it does? It's like a gardener's, what are those weed things? When they get weeds out. Tool? A gardening tool? What'd you call it? Is it something? A tiller? Okay, yeah, maybe a tiller. Yeah. And it really gets in there. As you're confessing and getting more specific, you're just sinking it deeper in there and popping it out. Instead of, oh, what an ugly weed. Okay, just put some dirt on it, you know, so I can't see it. No, let's get down in there. So that's confess. Repent, it means the forsaking the intent to do it again. The intent to do it again. God, I'm not going to do that again. God, help me to not do that again. Don't make any promises. You're going to sin again as a whole. But God, help me to not do that again. Give me the strength. Help me have a right heart to not do that again. If my heart's not right and I do want to do that again, God, help me. Give me somebody to talk to. And then you know what you do when you mess up? You do that again. And when you mess up, you do it again. Every time we're forsaking the intent. Okay, Stephen, I asked Stephen to share. Is there any thoughts, by the way, on that, on God's part?
I wonder, too, part of it is really understanding the cross of Christ. Uh-huh. Going to the cross every time, because that's where our sins have been dealt with.
Yeah.
So if we go to the cross and stay there until we really, until we sense God releasing us. But I think it's understanding the gospel more clearly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Along with that, we've been crucified with Him. So our new identity is in Him.
Amen.
And so taking peace because He died once and for all.
Yeah.
And so a big amen to what He said.
Good word, Todd. Thanks, man. Anybody else? That's great.
Several of the verses that we've talked about, you know, like Job 31, 1, you know, I've made a covenant with my eyes, therefore, why should I think upon a maid? It's like Daniel 1, 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And so, I think we've talked about, it really comes to that point of saying, okay, am I gonna pay the price or not?
Yeah.
So, I like Romans 8:12 that really help me a lot. This isn't Phillips, but it says, so then, my brothers, you see, we have no particular reason to feel grateful for our sensual nature or to live life on the level of the instincts. For indeed, that way of living leads to certain spiritual death. But if, on the other hand, you cut the nerve of your instinctive actions by obeying the Spirit, you are on the way to real living.
Uh-huh.
So I think the key is you cut the nerve of the instinctive actions. And how do you do that? Obey the Spirit.
Amen.
And then the Spirit gives you the power to be able to overcome that. And so it's like Romans 6, 10, and 11. You likewise reckon yourself to be dead indeed in sin, but alive in the Christ.
Yeah.
And so God doesn't want us to be slaves. He's given us the victory over it. But Satan, as you said, is the one who wants to destroy us. And so even we've memorized, you know, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, there's no temptation taking you but such as common men. But verse 12 is a real kicker.
Yeah.
It says, wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall.
Yeah.
And I think pride is every king that fell with sex and pride.
Yep.
And you just see it when we think, hey, I've got a whole handle on this. I don't need God's help anymore. Satan is there going to blindside you and trip you up just like playing football, and you're going to make a pass, and boy, this guy comes around the side and nails you. You didn't see it coming. And that's the way Satan operates. So, boy, that's with all of what Max, you know, Barnett talked about,
mm-hmm.
that salt in your life with Scripture and making those decisions, those purposes in your heart, your covenants with God, and then, you know, paying the price to keep them.
Amen. Thanks, Bruce.
Nothing happens in the dark. Psalm 139:12 says, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you.
Mm-hmm.
Then Job 34:21 says, for his eyes are on the ways of a man, and he takes note of all his steps. And God doesn't look after us like a disinterested party.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Mark. Well, I've got some gifts here. Stephen's going to share his testimony in just a second. But if you want, I've burned a bunch of CDs, and they've got, I think there's five or six different files on there. One's a Bible study. Actually, two of them are Bible studies to do in some small groups with a couple key guys just talking about purity. One of them specifically targets uncovering roots, like we were talking about, like going there. What does that look like? Some key questions to do that. There's a book by Mark Driscoll. He's a pastor of Mars Hills Church. And I forget the name of the book. Boy, it's good. It's got an interview with Ted Bundy on there. He was a serial killer. And how he got off base, started with pornography, just never controlled himself, grew up in a Christian home. Sad story. And there's some other goodies on here. So if you want one of these, I should have plenty for everybody. Just come and get them. They didn't get any. Okay. Oh, okay. No problem. Okay. It's up to, if a couple of guys are from the same campus and you want one, you can make copies. So it's all on here. Okay. I'll leave it up when we dismiss. You can come get them. And I've got a little book here. This is actually a digital file on here too. It's called When a Man's Eye Wanders. By the way, all of these are free, so I didn't steal them, or reproducing them is okay. I thought about printing them off and giving them to you, but a CD seems like you can make copies of it. But this guy, you can all take one of these. Great toilet reading because it's small. That's my favorite size. Look how big that is. But it's good stuff. It's a lot of good truth in here. So if you want one of those, I should have enough for everybody too. All right, well, this is Stephen Wolf, and he's from our campus at West Texas A&M. Graduate student, and Stephen's going to tell us his story. And if you guys, it's 11:45, so you guys mind giving him a couple minutes to tell his story? And then we'll pray and dismiss. That work? Okay.
Okay, I got to start with a little bit of kind of
have a joke that I just thought of. It's going to make me feel better. What does the Bible say about homosexuality? But we just read Proverbs 3:6, he will make your path straight.
Good joke.
Wow.
Good.
I just thought of that. Okay. Well, I guess I'm just going to... I'm glad I wrote down some notes, because otherwise I would just have no clue where to start. I struggled with same-sex attractions, and it was, like, a really tough thing. I'm from California, so the situation there is a little different, too, even. I grew up in a Christian home, and it was, like, this big secret of my whole life. Like, a lot of the lies that Mitch talked about were things that, you know, oh, you can't ever talk to anyone about this. They're going to reject you. This is, like, really horrible. You're the only one who ever struggles with this kind of a thing. It was really tough. But my freshman year of college, which was now 6 years ago because I'm about to graduate with a master's degree, God basically, in essence, did a miracle in my life. And that's what I want to tell you about. I discovered that year I was in a campus ministry and someone confessed pornography to me and said, you know, and so God told me that, okay, this is the time for you to get this off of your chest. And so I confessed that I was struggling with same-sex attractions, and turned out that that person actually had also overcome that same struggle and was able to give me the right resources and get me pointed in the right direction, and God really did an amazing thing. So I want to talk about two roots, though, because I think that's something that people don't really understand, and it's really similar to all the stuff that we just talked about. One of the big roots for me was I just didn't have a very well-developed identity as a man or as being a masculine kind of person. When we talk about lust, it's saying, you know, something that you don't think that you have and kind of wanting it. So I didn't see myself at that point in time as being very manly or very masculine. So here I am on this college campus as a freshman on the beach in California, and I see all of these, like, really masculine-looking surfer fraternity guys, and I'm like, wow, that's something that I don't have and don't see in myself, and I want, and I don't know how I can get it. And that desire then gets perverted and sexualized and becomes homosexuality. That's something that God kind of revealed to me what was going on, and saying, like, this isn't just like something that you're born with or something like that. This is a wounding and an issue that you have in your heart that I can heal. And as God spoke to me and said, you aren't this messed up person, but you are a man and you are a masculine person, and I created you in a good way, then I began to heal that, and I would see guys who I used to be attracted to, and then I would think, oh, I'm not really attracted to them because I recognize that I'm like them. I'm a man too, and so there's no need for there to be any attraction there. And God worked that out in my heart and revealed that to me over the course of about 6 months at the second half of my freshman year, and it was really an amazing thing. Another thing I wanted to talk about is this kind of like identity and names. And like when I grew up, when I was a kid in elementary school, I sucked at sports. People were always like, oh, are you gay because you like can't do this sports thing? And then when I was in high school, I didn't date anyone, and everyone was all dating and doing stuff, and they're like, well, if you're not dating, you must not be interested in women, and if you're not interested in women, you must be gay. And it was like the logic of the world that kind of like put me in this box. And I think if you have enough people telling you over the course of your life, oh, are you gay, then you start to think, oh, maybe I might be. And that's just the way that the enemy works sometimes, by planting lies in your life and reinforcing those over and over again. And so being able to undo those lies and take them back and claim God's truth instead and find out who he says you are is really important. And so both of those are kind of roots that God worked out and revealed the truth to me on. And it radically changed my life and really set me free of a lot of things. The thing that I think is really important that I want to point out is, like, I had gotten these books, like, that were written by Christian authors about overcoming same-sex attractions, and I read all this stuff in psychology. There's a branch of psychology that, you know, treats it as a psychological condition. And so I was reading all this stuff, and I had all this great stuff, but it wasn't that stuff that did it. It was that I started meeting with God, and this really crazy thing started happening. I would have these quiet times and get in the Word and get in God in my journal. I was, like, going through Romans chapter 1. It talks about homosexuality in that chapter a little bit. And I was just really breaking down the idea of desire and lust and what's going on inside my head. And I would feel like God was revealing something to me. And I would pray about it. And then I would go and I'd pick up some book written by a Christian author, and I would read this exact same thing that I had just figured out through the Word and through prayer, and it would just confirm it. And so it was neat that it was what God did in my heart, and it wasn't that, oh, these books did it, but the books just confirmed and backed up what God was already doing. And I think that goes along with what Mitch was saying, how there's not like some magic pill or you just have to read the right book about it. It's you have to get with God and let God work on your heart and use those things as tools to help you out. And so I just wanted to say, right now in my life, I have more male friendships than I had ever imagined that it would be possible for me to have. Like when I was in high school, I had some female friends. I just didn't really have any friends, and I was kind of lonely and isolated, and life sucked in a lot of ways. But now I just look at my life, and I see so many things that I can measure, like the number of times that people have had to ask me if I was gay or not just goes down, 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 down. You know, like the amount of male friends that I have that I just love hanging out with goes up, up, up. The amount of like sports and stuff that I do now, I go running with some of these guys at WT, and it's great. I have things in my life that I never thought I would have had, and so I can see that God has done this, and that's just really awesome. So I'm going to end by just giving some suggestions, suggestions for anyone who might be struggling with same-sex attractions is you don't want to keep a secret that's going to eat at you forever. My entire high school years and the first half of my freshman year, I thought I was dying under this horrible secret. And so finding a kind of trusted mentor that you can go to, someone of the same sex, so don't go to a woman saying, oh, I'm having trouble feeling like I'm a man. Go to a mentor who's a guy who's going to be able to help you. And then basically submit yourself to God. Submit your heart to God and ask Him who you really are. And that's kind of, I think, the most important things. And then if you are interested in maybe helping someone or just knowing more about it, letting people know that you're available to mentor somebody or to be an accountability partner with someone who's struggling with that, I think is kind of a big deal because there's this kind of stereotype that, you know, this is such a horrible thing, don't ever talk to anyone about this. And especially like when people are doing things like this, I would go to so many like Christian talks and they would get up there and they would say, you know, it's summer, springtime, and the girls are wearing less clothes, so you know you're a guy if you're struggling with lust right now. And it's like, well, I wasn't lusting after girls, that wasn't my problem, and I felt so isolated by all these Christian talks that were geared towards just this one thing. So when people are talking about stuff, include that. Say, recognize that it's very possible there might be people who are struggling with that, and kind of let it be known that if you are struggling with that, it's okay. It's just a struggle like any other struggle, and you can get help for it too. And so I think that that's really important. And then, so never assume what people are struggling with. You just don't know until they tell you. And, I think that that's kind of it.
Thank you, Stephen. Just want to dovetail on one last thing. Is you can make yourself a really good person, a really good accountability partner or a brother to someone struggling with that by watching what you say. People that struggle with same-sex attraction, if I'm talking about something as gay or I'm talking about how fag this, or you just start saying stuff like that, what kind of openness is that going to create for you with someone who may be struggling with that? You know, shut them down. I can't talk to that guy. No way. I know what he's going to do if I tell him. So he's just going to close the doors. So make yourself open to that. If you do that, or if you know someone who does, maybe just kind of get beside him and say, hey, can we work on this? So that'll be good. Okay. I want to pass out an evaluation because I want to know how I can do this better. If I left something out that you were hoping I would hit, or if there's something missing. But let me just highlight one last thing, and then if there's any questions. Okay, my charge to you, confess your sins openly with trustworthy men. Go deep in those deep places with God in your life. May be painful, but the results are worth more than you can imagine, and it will set you free. That's the truth. So is there any other comments or thoughts or questions? Something we didn't cover that you hoped we would? while you're filling that out, consider this. This is a great time. Bruce has a great expression. He says, strike while the iron is hot, referring to blacksmiths. You get your metal soaked in the fire, you put it on the anvil, and you hit it while it's hot. That way it shapes and forms. If you wait to try and deal with this stuff till you get back to campus, or you're like, yeah, I need to be open with a couple guys. If you wait till you get back to campus, that dude's already going to be cooled off. Do it now. Do it today. During free time, after this workshop, pull aside some guys and say, hey, can we talk later tonight? Can we talk at the cafe, Nav Cafe? Or maybe can we talk in the room at the bunk tonight? Because we need to talk about this. Can we do that? Begin the conversations today. Because it's real easy to forget what happened, what God spoke to you. So, any questions or comments or thoughts? Well, continue filling out your sheets. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to share about this very vital issue of purity. And God, I pray that each man that is here today, and each one, even those that were too ashamed to come, God, I pray that you would transform them from the inside out. God, that they would have a deep passion for you. God, would you cultivate a fire inside of them to meet with you and to know you. God, I pray that that's where they find their confidence and their hope. Lord, would you show them, open their eyes to men that are around them that they can be vulnerable with, even if it's their rep, their campus rep. God, I pray that they would be willing to go there and experience a small bit of embarrassment or humiliation for a lifetime of walking free with you. So thank you, God. Equip and encourage each man in Jesus' name. Amen.